From the studios of Radio Sai at Prashanti Nilayam, I am Chandu Vijay and this is Love to Love. And today we have a talk by someone who needs no introduction to the Sai fraternity. Professor Anil Kumar, who is well known in the Sai circle as Bhagwan's translator. He was the principal of the Vrindavan campus of the Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning and later served as a professor in the Department of Biosciences in Prashanti Nilayam campus. He has authored a number of books on Bhagwan Baba, the popular among them being Satyopinishad, a series which is based on his conversations with Bhagwan. In this talk, he attempts to simplify esoteric Vedantic concepts like yoga and tantra. And this talk was delivered in the Satsang Hall here in Prashanti Nilayam. Stay tuned, dear listeners. At the end of this talk, you'll be treated to some heartfelt songs sung by the students of Swami. And at 3:30 p.m., we will have the live Telugu segment, Sri Sathya Sai Divya Sandesh Jhari. And for now, over to Professor Anil Kumar.
Sai Ram, with my humble pranams to his lotus feet, and welcome to you all once again. Let me just talk to you certain facts from Vedanta or spiritual science. All of us, I mean followers of all religions, any religion, stands for truth. Yes? Satyam nasti paro dharma. There is no other value more than the truth. I am the truth, said Christ. Therefore, truth is the essence. Truth is the quintessence. Truth is the center of every religion, of every faith. Now, as followers of religion, what do we say? I'm searching for truth. I'm trying to know the truth. I'm the seeker of truth. I search for truth. That's what all we say. Let me begin with this. We are wrong. We are wrong. You don't need to search for truth. You don't need to seek truth. Seek. Search. Seek for truth. You don't need to study about truth. You don't need to wait to know the truth. Why? You are the truth. You are the truth. Truth is here now. If anyone says that I'm a seeker after truth, well, he may find anything else, but not the truth. Because you are the truth. Truth is not to be sought, is not to be searched, is not to be investigated. It is not to be created. No, it is already there. As Baba said, Satyamanandundi Sarvambu Srishtinche. The whole creation came out of truth. Satyamanandu Anage Sarva Srishti. The entire creation sustains in this principle of truth. Therefore, truth is the only thing that sustains, that exists. Therefore, if I say I am in search of truth, meaning I am in search of light. Supposing I say I am in search of light. What do you say? You feel so bad to have come here this morning. Because you are not come here to meet a madman. When light is everywhere, if I say let me search for light, what do you think? Similarly, where is the truth? Truth is here, now. It is not to be searched, not to be investigated, not to be found. Then, we think that mind will help me to know the truth. Mind, satyanveshana, search for truth. Mind will help me to know the truth. I am sorry, it is false. Why? Mind always lives in two times. One past, another future. Mind never lives in the present. Truth is not of the past. Truth is not of the future. Truth is here just now. So to say that my mind will help me with the truth meaning, you are on the wrong side. We are on the wrong side. Mind cannot help because mind is futuristic. Mind always desires. Desire is something lies in future. I want to have a car, future. I want to have a bungalow, future. Desiring is futuristic. Desiring is the quality of the mind. And if I say my mind will help me to know the truth, is also false and is not correct. Therefore, my friends, what shall we conclude now? Truth and mind will never go together. Truth and mind will never go together. Because mind is either future or past. Truth is in the present. Mind desires. Desiring is futuristic. So mind and truth are parallel. They never go together. So what shall we do? You don't have to search for truth. You don't have to seek truth. You can find the truth. You can find the truth. Meaning, shall I search for the mic? Shall I search for it? I find it here. I find it here. I don't have to search for it. So similarly, find the truth, but do not seek the truth. Do not search for truth. You find the truth. That's most important. Why? Why? Seek meaning search. Mr. Anil Kumar, where is your pen? I shall seek for it. I shall search for it. Seeking or searching is an attempt, is a process. That is future again. I will seek, find the chair. I will seek, find you there. Seeking is futuristic. So if I say, I am seeking truth, I am wrong. Therefore, seeking is an obstacle to find the truth. Because when truth is here, where do you search? What do you want to seek? As if it is somewhere. It is very much here. So seeking is a hindrance. Seeking is a block. Seeking is futuristic. While the truth lies in the present, just here now. Therefore, non-seeking will help you to find the truth. Seeking will never help you the truth. So if you go on seeking for the mic everywhere, you don't get it. Seek everywhere. While mic is here, what is the fun of seeking everywhere? When you find it here. Similarly, seeking is a hindrance. It will not help us to find. That's what it is. And I can also tell you, my friends, seeking is a worldly process. Seeking is a worldly process. Meaning, you know any minister? Let me know. You know where his house is? Let me seek. You know where North Indian canteen? Let me seek. Seeking is a word applicable to material objects, worldly things. But not God. You don't seek God because He is the only one present. When He is everywhere, everyone is He only. What is the fun of seeking for Him? So seeking is futuristic. Seeking is worldly. If you say, I am seeking God, you made God an object, a material. God is like a glass or like a pen object. You seek and you get it. So seeking happens in the worldly side. I am seeking moksha. Moksha is also worldly. Therefore, my friends, let us not use words like, I am seeking truth, I am seeking God, I am seeking moksha. No. They are very much here. You are moksha. Huh? People say that I get moksha after die, after I die. Is there any insurance policy? No. Moksha is not anything to come after death, my friends. No. Gas number one. If you are detached, that is moksha here and now. If you are detached, if you are non-desiring, if you don't desire, that is moksha. If you detach, that is moksha. We don't have to wait until we die for moksha. Because nobody told me, Mr. Anil Kumar, I got moksha. Please, why don't you join me? Moksha is a myth. It's an illusion. Not something to come later. It is very much here. In non-desiring, in detachment, that's what it is. Therefore, let us not make moksha part of the world. Let us not make God part of the world, because that's all objective, object-oriented, world-centered, totally materialistic. But at the same time, you can desire name, good name. You can desire fame. You can desire position. You can desire power. You can desire influence. But you don't desire God. Why? Not necessary. You are God. When God is in you, what is fun of desiring? Simple example. Cell phone is in my pocket. Suppose I desire cell phone. You'll come and say you are a fool. It is in your pocket. Why do you desire? It is already there. Similarly, when God is in you, when you are God, then you say, I desire God, is not applicable, is not true. Therefore, what is the way now? The way is non-desiring. Non-desiring. Desiring applies to the world. Non-desiring applies to God. Seeking applies to world. Non-seeking applies to God. Therefore, non-seeking and then non-desiring. Mind will help us to achieve here. But mind is useless because mind and truth will never meet. Mind is time bound, but the truth is beyond time. Therefore, my friends, there are certain ideas that we have been hearing, that we have been entertaining, that we have been believing, without investigating, without knowing the cause, without knowing the meaning. We use the words. I want to know God. Somebody may say, I want to know Anil Kumar. What is that? You are already Anil Kumar. What is the meaning of knowing? Similarly, to say, I want to know God is wrong. Therefore, my friends, if we go deeper into philosophy, we get exposed to the, uncover the ignorance. We are not getting anything new. All that which is there is covered by the dust of ignorance, by the cloud of misunderstanding. So we have to clear this misunderstanding uncover the dust to see the truth which is already there. Therefore, all right, what shall I do with my mind now? First understand that mind cannot do it. I cannot write with mic. I cannot write with glass. Pen only writes. Similarly, mind won't help me. That I should have it first. Understand it. And second, I should also know that mind desires objective, that this is subjective, cannot desire. So what shall I do with the mind now? Make it thoughtless. When there are no thoughts, mind is gone. When there are thoughts, fish market. Mind is strong. So make it thought-free, thoughtless. When it is thoughtless, no, desire is also thought. So when there are no desires, there are no thoughts. Attachment is a thought. When there are no thoughts, there is no attachment. That is divinity. That's where we are. We are supposed to understand. In one sentence, what all we discussed till now can be put in one sentence. What is it? I am here now. I am here now. That I is my true self. Not merely the body. Because body may be here, mind may be in the supermarket. Or mind may be in the bus stand. No, I am here. My body is here, my mind is here, my self, spirit, consciousness is also here. So to know that I am here now is real truth. To know that I am here now is freedom. And to know that I am here now is moksha. I am here now, it is liberation, it is nirvana. I am here now, that is freedom. That's what we have got to understand. Then what are the methods now? I think, my friends, I could make it clear what I really wanted to convey. These may seem to be something, this approach may seem to be new, but it is a fact. But it is a fact. What shall we do now? We have got to, first of all, understand that we have got two types of paths. One broad gauge, meter gauge. Or you can say, straight flight or stopover good catch, another flight. Two airlines. What are the two airlines? One is yoga, the other is tantra. Yoga airline, one path. Tantra is another path. What is yoga? What is tantra? I want to say, share with you some of my collections. The first, what is yoga? You ask somebody, what are you doing? I'm practicing yoga. Good. What are you doing? Well, I'm attending yoga classes. Yoga is aggressive. Aggressive. Courageous. So, this yoga is aggressive. Extraward. Extraward meaning outward. So, what is my mind? Am I aggressive? Yes, yoga is the best path. Am I violent? Why not? Yoga is the best path. Am I extrovert? Yes, everybody can know by talking to me 3 sentences. So, we have to decide our temperament, whether we fit into yoga or not. Then second part, what is called tantra. It is just opposite. T-A-N-T-R-A. What is tantra part? Tantra part is not violent, is not aggressive. It is receptive. It is passive. It is silent. It is calm. So, tantra is calm, silent, receptive, non-violent, and introvert. Introvert. So, extrovert path is yoga, introvert path is tantra. Tantra. Aggressiveness, violence is yoga path. Receptivity, calm and quiet is tantra path. So, we feel comfortable depending upon our temperament. If a man who is very calm going, very soft, if he takes to yoga, maybe a thorough failure. A man who is very dynamic or aggressive will be failure in tantra part. Therefore, which way, which path, that we have to find out. But goal is same. Yoga and tantra will lead us to the same goal. British airline or American airline will take you to the same destination. In a similar way, these two paths take you to the same line, but we have to understand which path suits us or to which path we fit into, something like this. This is the lid. A big lid, useless. Smaller lid, useless. Lid that fits, that suits, is the correct one. Similarly, we have to find out which lid of yoga, which lid of tantra fits into the bottle of our life. That's where we have to exercise our discretion. And two, in yoga, there are two aspects. There are two aspects. The body is different from the mind. Mind is different from the body. There is difference between what I do, what I want to do. There is difference between what I can, what I cannot. What I want, what I don't want. There is always conflict in yoga. Conflict between the two opposites in yoga. But in tantra, there is no conflict. There's total unity between what you say and what you do, what you want and what you don't want. Why there's no conflict? Because both are same. I may like one thing, I may not like one thing, but the thing is there. Understand? Simple example. I want to have a shirt. Blue color is one shirt, one type. Red color is another type. Shirt is same. Right? So, there is no conflict in tantra because it accepts this, it accepts that one reality. It does not deny the other. If it denies, it is yoga. If it accepts, it is tantra. I think I am clear. Tantra meaning there is no conflict. There is no duality. Complete acceptance. One includes the other includes this. Simple example. Day and night are opposite. Because you find the light, in the night you don't have light. Opposite. Correct? Yoga. But if you go to tantra people, they say both are one. Because this is part of that, that is part of this. Night is a part of the day. Day is a part of the night. The whole day. So, which is opposite to the other? Nothing is opposed to the other. In tantra, while one is opposite to the other, in yoga, which I want to let you know, then yoga gives you a promise. promise of that which is beyond death. Even after this life, something is there. That's what yoga says. But Tantra says, nothing beyond, be yourself. Accept yourself. You are the truth. You are one and the same. But what we have to do is, we have to use this to know the truth. To find the truth. There is no conflict at all. Both are one and the same. Simple example. Yoga tells you, after the body is gone, you will get something. But Tantra tells you, make use of the body to know the spirit. Make use of the body to know the spirit, to experience the spirit. So, body and consciousness are one and the same in Tantra. Whereas in yoga, unless body is gone, you will not get it. That is the difference. And then, this is the basic truth between yoga and Tantra. Yoga says, be desireless. No desire. Fight with your desire. It's a difficult process. But Tantra says, have the desire. Have it. But with awareness. Be aware of your desire. You don't have to fight with your desire. You don't have to be desireless. Understand what sort of desire it is. Be aware of the desire. So have the desire with awareness is Tantra part of life. So yoga part and Tantra part. And then also this. In yoga, it says this. There's something beyond the mind, beyond the body. Mind is lower. Senses are lower. Body and the senses are the slaves. They are the puppets. There is something superior. That's what yoga says. But Tantra says, no. With the body, move into your consciousness. Supposing the bottle is outside, I have to take it. If the heart is inside, how can I take it and put it there? Heart is not a bottle to take out and keep it there. So similarly, my friends, let us understand the Tantra is the procedure that with the help of the body, realize it. Through the body, you attain. Not by denying the body, not by condemning the body. There are some people say, what are there in this body? Oh, I see. Do you think God is a fool to give you this body? Huh? What is there in this body? Uh-huh. There is nothing in this body. Then don't eat, don't drink. Nonsense. You have to accept the body. And through this body, realize, understand. Following the path of love, that is Tantra. Whereas yoga says, deny the body, master the body, make the body a slave. The more we want to make it a slave, we become a slave to the body. Never try to make anybody a slave. If you make anybody a slave, you will become his slave. No. No. Let us live together. Let us understand you. Let you understand me. That's what Tantra aspect is. Yoga, another procedure. It says no to everything. No. That's what our yoga atmosphere here. If you go to accommodation, do we have? No. Can I sit here? No. Can I have one more spoon of sambar? No. They are all yogis. Because yoga follows the path of negation. No, no, no. But Tantra follows the path of affirmation. Yes,
Oh, you want to be here?
Why not?
Can I have it?
By all means. Why not? So, this kind of acceptance, affirmation, positivity is tantra. Negativity, denial, refusal is yoga. It is for us to choose one of the two. Now, there are two bulls here. Two bulls. Used in agriculture, you put a yoke on it so that both the bulls move in the same direction. Yoke on the neck, right? So, the body and the consciousness go together under the same yoke in the case of yoga. But tantra says both are same, there is no question of yoga. There is no question of body and consciousness being separate. Both are one only. That's what tantra school says. Tantra is quite close to us. Tantra is quite practical. Though we love yoga, though we say yoga, yoga, but in truth, in practice, it is not that simple in letter and spirit. Then the point is this. There is no place for ego in tantra. There is ego in yoga. In yoga, there is a time. Some people say, well, I do yoga in the early hours of the morning. What time? 6 to 7 o'clock. My yoga, okay. Yoga has got some time. Some stipulated period. Tantra is not like that. Living in consciousness all the time. Living in consciousness. Living in awareness that I am the divine is a tantra. Yoga is duality. Tantra is non-duality. That's what I would like to draw your attention. Yoga says, simple example. Yoga says, don't be angry. By saying that don't be angry, I will be more angry. Therefore, don't do don'ts are there in yoga. Don't be angry. Don't take extra food. Don't sleep more than necessary. Do's and don'ts. And that irritates us. Yes. The more say you don't, the more I want to do it. Don't do it. Yes, I will do it. Therefore, yoga will tell you not to follow. Because full of do's and don'ts. But tantra is do it with awareness. You do it with awareness, meaning you know what you are doing. You know why you are doing. You know where it will take you. You will know the result of what you do. So to know what the result, why, when is awareness. So doing with awareness is tantra. Well, do's and don'ts is yoga way of practice. Then there is anger in me. Don't be angry, says yoga. But I am more angry now. But tantra says, be angry, but slowly understand why you are angry. Why you are angry? Why? What makes you angry? What is the result of anger? What is the result of anger? The result of anger is zero. You will be disturbed. Other man is not disturbed. I am angry with you. Now so what? You look quite normal smiling. I get my blood pressure up and up. So by being angry, you are upset. You are at a loss. So when I get anger, let me examine why I am angry. Where will it take me? How does it help me? Then tantra says, When you have anger with awareness, it gets transformed into compassion. Anger gets transformed into compassion, kindness, consideration, sympathy, tolerance. Suppose I'm angry, understand? Chalta is also another man. It's all right. He may behave towards me like this. Tomorrow he'll be different. I too might have behaved towards him, like him towards some people. I too must have been bad like that. He is bad to me today. I must have been bad to many people in the past. So when you understand that anger gets converted into compassion in tantric way. Don't be angry at all is yogic way, which is rather difficult. Yoga says, don't get into the world deeply. There are some people who say, what is there in this world? There's nothing in this world. Please die. I'll give 5 minutes time. Poison is available. The world will be free without you, happy without you. Those that say what is there in the world, they love the world more than all of us. Those that say what is there is money, they have plenty of money in their bank account. Don't trust them. Don't trust them. Because there is no truth in what they say. What we could tell you is this. Yoga says don't be in the world. Be against the world. Because world is fleeting, world is transient, world is ephemeral, world is mundane, world is... So you? What about you? If the world is not permanent, how about you? Are you permanent? No. So, the yoga says, don't be in the world. But tantra says, be in the world, but out of the world. Don't get, get into it, but not in it. Get into it, but not in it. Get into meaning you can get out. In it means you cannot get out. See? Something like the toothpaste. When the paste comes out, it won't get in again. Can you do that? Try with your toothpaste tonight. Get the tooth and press it. Paste comes out. Come on, put it back. You cannot. Therefore, be in the world, get into the world, but not in it. Something like lotus flower is in the world, but it is out of the world. Something like a boat, it is in water, water is not in the boat. That is tantra way. Tantra way is be into the world but not in it. The yoga way is be out of it. It is not that simple and easy. Now, to make summary, what is the best way that could be done now? What are 3 steps? Yoga way I said, tantra way I mentioned, differences between yoga and tantra, we studied. These are all there in Sanatana Dharma, our ancient philosophy. We should have some basic understanding of these things. Therefore, I thought that I should study first, understand, digest, and share with you later. I think Baba helped me to some extent in trying to convey what I want you. First point, acceptance. Accept whatever it is. Accept yourself. I'm not accepting myself. Why? I want to be like him. I want to be like her. I don't want to be like him. I don't want to be like her. Stop that nonsense. I am what I am. I may be bad. I may be good. Chhod do, I am not bothered. Acceptance. Accept yourself first. Second, sensitive understanding. Understand yourself sensitively. Sensitive understanding is different from mere understanding. Mere understanding is superficial. Sensitive understanding happens when you go deep. Simple. One commits a mistake. Understanding is he committed a mistake. Let me think about that. Sensitive understanding, he is a human being after all. I am also human, he is also human. To err is human. To take it as a human thing, sensitive understanding. But oh, he did a mistake, let me talk about it, let me think about it. It is just understanding. Understanding is different from sensitive understanding. Sensitive understanding is sympathetic understanding. Sensitive understanding is a kind of understanding that will help you to forgive people, to excuse people. But mere understanding will make you judge, will make you decide. So let us have first acceptance and two, sensitive understanding. And third, awareness. Awareness. Awareness of what? We are after all mortals. But I may do that and this, but yet the real self is beyond. Because there are some people, because I have done some mistake, I am gone for this life. Who said? Who said? I am bad, therefore I am gone. Chacha, either good or bad, you are gone anyway. It's not the point. The point is this. There is something in me which is not affected by your goodness, your badness. By your good or bad, there is something unaffected. Something like the sky. There may be clouds, there may not be clouds. Sky is unaffected. Something like a cinema screen. There may be some films of dance. There may be some films of music. But screen is unaffected. This is called awareness. This awareness will help us to know that I am something there in me which is beyond, which is neither good nor bad. Because there's some dance on the screen, I cannot say, Abba, screen is very good, wonderful dances. Useless. Film is dancing, not the screen. So, awareness or realization of the non-dual principle within us, which is transcendental reality. These are the words which are high-sounding words, meaning conveying simple truth. Truth is very simple. On this table, I may keep the mic, or bottle, or the glass. Table is unaffected. Table will not jump in joy because of the mic. Table will not cry because of the bottle. Table is unaffected. So, awareness meaning that which is not affected is within us. How does it help me? How does it help me? Supposing you feel I am a good man, you'll be egoistic, full of ego. There are some people who say, you cannot point out single mistake in my life. One gentleman told me, Mr. Anil Kumar, you cannot point out single mistake in my life. I told him, that is the biggest mistake, I said. The man who does right can do something wrong. The man who does wrong can do something right. The man who says right means totally wrong, utterly false, hypocrisy. So, you cannot say that or this. Therefore, my friends, this kind of awareness that I am a bad man, that I am a sinner,
I have many habits. I am so such. Stop that nonsense. So what? The real you is not a sinner. The real you is never bad. The real you never committed any mistake. So, who committed? Mind must have committed. My mind committed that. My mind had a bad thought and my body did a bad thing. Mind and body together, coalition government. Mind and body together commit acts. One thinks, one does. The real I never thinks, never does. The real I never thinks because I is beyond the thought. The real I never does because it is actionless. The real I is a witness. Real I is a witness. Something like a traffic policeman. He watches traffic going on. When car is coming, he does not run after that car. When truck is going, he will not jump into the truck. He will watch him. Similarly, the real I is a watcher, watchdog, witness, which is not bothered about this. That is what is called awareness. Therefore, my friends, as a first step, acceptance. Let me accept myself what I am. You can accept yourself what you are when you don't imitate others, when you don't follow others, when you don't consider others as superior, as if you are inferior. Some people say, very high level. What level? What level? You are at a higher level than that fellow. Please understand that. There are no levels. All are at the same level. Suppose you are shouting. See, Anil Kumar is very calm. That man is shouting. Oh ho. If there is some reason for me to shout, I will also shout. So, situation makes you, but not real you. Therefore, my friends, this is what understanding is. Situations make us bad or good. Conditions may make us commit right, mistake or wrong. Understand. Sensitive understanding. Accept what I am. Sensitive understanding. Next and third step is awareness, which is beyond. Final step is indulgence. Indulgence. Come on. Let me live in this world with this awareness. Let me mingle with people with this awareness. Let me do with awareness. Because awareness should not make you run away from the world. Some people, he is beyond us, meaning he is dead and gone. How can anybody be beyond? Impossible. Therefore, let us understand this. Indulgence, meaning get involved, indulge, involve. Yes, I involve with awareness. Awareness born out of sensitive understanding. And that sensitive understanding born out of the fact of acceptance. These are the four steps which we have got to understand, my friends. And there's also certain things here I should tell you finally. Atheist, the one who does not believe, atheist. What he says is different from atheist. But tantric is totally different. A follower of tantra, he feels both are same. You may say God is here, you may say God is not there, but both are same to me. To a follower of tantra. Therefore, unity is the principle of tantric way of life. And there is nothing to be contemned in tantric way. Everything is holy. You cannot say this unholy, this is holy. All are equally holy. It is your understanding that makes you feel unholy. That which is holy now may be unholy by night. That which is unholy in the night may be very holy by day. Difference of time. Therefore, the tantric way is unity. There's nothing like being holy and unholy. But whereas that what we call the religious people, problem is with religious people. Atheists are good. They say nothing. Good. Tantric fellows, only one, good. Problem with religious people, this is good, this is bad, he is good, he is bad. Problem with us. We are dual. What we have to do is, we try to be non-dual. We try to transcend. We should try to be above. Therefore, this morning, my friends, I tried to make some kind of attempt to draw your attention this morning to these two basic schools of philosophy, what you call the tantric way and yoga way of Vedanta or philosophy. Because when I read these things, when I write those things, I'm charged. I'm fully charged. Here sits my friend, known to me for last 45 years or so. When I read anything in the morning, I cannot keep it unless I share with him that very evening. What to do? I'll be waiting for him there near Ganesha so that I can share with him. That is my temperament. Because these are the things. I did not share with him. Swami gave me the ring. He gave a ring to many people. I cannot tell me I had a dream last night. Swami appeared in my dream and took me in his car. The car driver is there. He need not take you. I am not interested. I am interested in this deep philosophy, the Vedanta, which is the reality permanent in our life. All experiences are just fleeting, passing clouds. Therefore, I take advantage of this situation. There's one thing. Now I am fully aware of what I am speaking. I am fully aware who are listening to me. I am fully aware where I am speaking. This is called conscious state. Conscious. Shal Kumar, are you conscious of what you are speaking? Yes. Are you conscious? I doubt. Then don't talk. Therefore, conscious meaning, I know. I'm conscious of my dress. The one who is conscious of dress will dress neatly. How the fold is. Fold should be perfect. Ironing should be perfect. Conscious. Do it consciously. But, have you combed your hair? I don't know. Unconscious. Do you know that shirt is torn behind? Unconscious. If you are not aware, unconscious. If you are aware, conscious. But you, the real you in you, the self in you, is it conscious or unconscious? Beyond. That self can be conscious, self can be unconscious, but it is beyond. Am I clear, please? So, that kind of non-duality, the transcendental self, which is beyond conscious and unconscious, has got to be understood and we have to ponder of it, reflect on that concept. So, what shall I do? Just be. Just be, that's all. You be ye, not be double ye, to suck the honey from a flower. I'm not speaking bees, no. Be, just to be like that. Don't struggle. Don't strain. Don't run after people. Don't break your heads. Don't try to learn Sanskrit at this age. Waste of time, waste of energy. Let us not strain. Just be. Just be. But we cannot be. Why? Think of tomorrow, think of yesterday. Think of a friend, think of enemy. Just be thoughtless. Totally free from thoughts. Totally free from desires. Totally free from the chain of time. Just be. That is what the reality is. Then what happens? How to go to that state? Love. Love is the only path to take us beyond duality. Because when there's no love, there's always duality. I love this, I don't love that. I like it, I hate that. But when you are beyond, only love remains. Love takes you to non-duality. That's what it is. Therefore, it is said, God is love. Love is God. God is love. Love is God means what? There is no hatred there. Supposing I love cool drink, meaning I don't love hot drinks. I hate hot drinks. I love Carnatic music, meaning I don't like Hindustani music. So mere love at the ordinary level is a dual. But love above, beyond, is non-dual. No condition at all. There is no question of negation. There is no opposite. I love both. Is a good man? Is a bad man? Yes, I love both of them. He's educated, he's uneducated, so what? I love both of them. He's rich, he's poor, so what? I love both of them. So, the real love is non-dual. The real love is divine. And therefore it is said, love is God, God is love. Therefore, my friends, the thing is this, we have to develop, how to develop this attitude? How to develop this attitude of love towards everything? Let us look at this world and feel that it's really wonderful. How are you? Wonderful. How is he? Wonderful. How is she? Wonderful. We should see wonder in this universe. It's all right, routine. It's all right. No. We should have wonder-filled view of this world. How are the waves? Wonderful. How is the ocean? Wonderful. How are the birds in the sky? Wonderful. Wow. How is the child? Wonderful. So we should have this wonder-filled vision, sight of the universe. When this wonder is gone, thunder is the result. What is the thunder? Thunder of money, the thunder of power, the thunder of pelf, the thunder of ego, and the thunder of self-glorification. No, no, no. We should have that wonder, wonder-filled world. So everything is wonderful. To look at the mango tree now, this season, it may be very hot, correct. But see the mango fruits. Wonderful mango fruits. This season may be very hot. How about the jasmine flowers in the evening? Jasmine flowers. Beautiful, fragrant, wonderful smell. So let us develop this wonder-filled vision towards this universe and
that man is religious.
That man with wonderful, wonder-filled vision is a religious man. The man with oily face, a dirty face, a rubber face, elastic face is irreligious.
Irreligious. The face will tell you how wonder it is.
Some people look at Swami. When he looks at,
hello, when did you come?
He will not say, when did you come?
There's wonder in his face.
The splendor, that wonder is divinity. That is religion.
Therefore, a religious man will have wonderful, wonder-filled view of the whole world. Or else, when that wonder disappears, what happens? Charm of life is gone. Charm of life is gone.
For that wonder to remain, wonder to remain, form should disappear. In formlessness, you are wonder-filled. If you want to look at the sky, it has no form. Ocean, it has no form. Cool breeze, it has no form. Smell of a flower has no form. Wonder has no form. So, to have this wonder-filled vision, we should go from form to formlessness. We were filled with wonder watching Swami while he was in form. When he is out of the form, the wonder-filled vision will make me feel all over the universe, all over the world, not in a form. So when form to formlessness, meaning growing in wonder, enjoying the wonder in the entire universe, which lies there in this love, the art of love. My friends, I am so happy that you could be here in spite of heat. I don't know to what extent you appreciated yoga, tantra, the wonder, the non-dual acceptance, awareness, the non-duality. A non-dual man, a religious man, will never decide anybody. Please understand that. He will not judge anybody. If I say it's bad, you are a stupid number one. Who is bad? You are much worse than him. So never judge. Never hate. Never say that it is good, it is bad. Never say it is right and wrong. No, the transcendental reality you are. May Baba bless you. Thank you.
Special in your love, and I'm the Lord so close to you. Every time we look up to you, sky we have found this room. If you're a sky, I'm to my enemy. Gina hai to sirf tere liye. Listen to the strokes of our heart, they say, sky we love you. Listen to the strokes of our heart, they say, sky we love you. Some journey of love, you're our only friend. In this tiresome journey of love, you're our only friend. Lead us on and we will follow till the very end. If you're a sari, hum tumhare liye. Jeena hai to sirf tere liye. Listen to the strokes of our heart. Sai, we love you. strokes of a heart, they say, Sai, we love you. Ki pyare Sai, hum tumhare liye, jeena hai to sirf tere liye. Listen to the strokes of a heart. खुशबू देता है सागर सावन देता है जीना उसका जीना है जो अनोख जीवन देता है मधुबन खुशबू देता है
खुशबू देता है సందేశము చాటుతా
వచ్చిన శాంతి పదవు నీవు గురువులకే సద్గురువై
Hey. Shiva.